Matthew's gospel typically portrays Jesus' disciples as people of little faith who fail despite their best intentions. In this story, Matthew shows how Jesus comes to the disciples when they are in trouble and sustains them in their time of fear and doubt. The Holy Gospel according to St. Matthew, the 14th chapter.
Glory to you, O Lord.
Jesus made the disciples get into the boat and go ahead to the other side of the Sea of Galilee while he dismissed the crowds. And after he had dismissed the crowds, he went up the mountain by himself to pray. When evening came, he was there alone. But by this time, the boat, battered by waves, was far from the land, for the wind was against them. And early in the morning, he came walking toward them on the sea. But when the disciples saw him walking on the sea, they were terrified, saying, "It is a ghost!" And they cried out in fear. But immediately Jesus spoke to them and said, "Take heart, it is I. Do not be afraid." Peter answered him, "Lord, if it is you, command me to come to you on the water." Jesus said, "Come." So Peter got out of the boat, started walking on the water, and came toward Jesus. But when he noticed the strong wind, he became frightened and immediately began to sink. And he cried out, "Lord, save me." Jesus immediately reached out his hand and caught him, saying to him, "You of little faith, why did you doubt?" When they got into the boat, the wind ceased. And those in the boat worshipped him, saying, "Truly, you are the Son of God." The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, O Christ.
Let us pray. God, may the words of my mouth, the meditations of our hearts, be pleasing to you, O Lord. Amen. Grace and peace to you from the one who calms the storm, our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. Brothers and sisters, I must disclose something to you this morning. More and more, it has become difficult to prepare sermons for Sunday morning. And now, this isn't a lack of things to say. Rather, it's the increasing tension, the tumult, and the tragedy that we witness throughout our world. It has created a chaotic and destructive environment, one that directly needs a word of hope, yet simultaneously hears a divine destruction from that very world. We see many people questioning God's existence, giving up and losing hope in the church's apprehensive responses, or lashing out in hate in the name of God. All this doesn't even take into account the hardships here at home, griefs, the pains, the things we experience in our personal lives. Destructive powers are at large. This is exactly what is going on in our gospel text today. Destruction and chaos. The feeding of the 5,000 just took place, and Jesus has sent his disciples across the sea so that he can wrap things up with the crowd before retreating for prayer. In the meantime, the disciples in their boat are being pounded by the waves. I imagine them white-knuckling on the side of the boat, trying to hold on as they buck the waves in sheer terror. The sea. Now, the Israelites, the Hebrew people, would have known in their time and in their scriptures, the sea symbolizes destructive powers on a cosmic, a political, or on a personal level. And here we too are, white knuckling the boat we call life as we navigate on. And sadly, while I wish it weren't true, our society has created different boats for certain people to navigate in. That is, there are systems in our society that separate people into votes based on gender, based on race, based on class, and based on sexual orientation. And these votes are not equal. In recent time, and especially in the last few months, we have seen a rise in hate propaganda and in hate actions. Especially, we witnessed this in the last couple days, the protests of Charlottesville, Virginia. Protests that reek of white supremacy. Yes, white supremacy. These actions taking place in Virginia are part of a long, sick, and twisted history that continues to poison our nation. They are sin and need to be named as such and called for repentance. And let us not be quick to remove ourselves because we are 900 miles away. As a colleague of mine points out, anytime one hears and doesn't speak to a racist joke, that is sin. Anytime someone comments that a person of color who was killed by the police deserved it is sin. A child learning that white skin is better, more beautiful, smarter, richer, you name it, is sin. Not going to a certain part of town because it is dangerous is sin. Insisting all lives matter, denying our black brothers and sisters is sin. These are all rooted in sin. Only aiming to feed the destruction of the storm. They are the waves that continually beat against the boats, striking fear. And as a white Christian, I confess before you. I confess that I continually, myself, fall short. I fall short in complacency in the comforts of my own privileges as a white male. And I benefit from the system of racism. For this, I deeply grieve and humbly repent. When another is denied their humanity, it is anti-Christ. For Christ resides in the other. This history continues to rear its ugly head in different forms. As Deacon Shannon put it, after reading about Jim Crow era laws while visiting the Center for Civil and Human Rights in our trip to Atlanta this week, she says, "I read about a person who is allowed to marry and not marry, and it doesn't feel so far removed. I saw pictures of what bathrooms a person is allowed to use and not use, and it does not feel so far removed. I hear chants of white supremacists yielding hate, carrying torches, and it does not feel so removed. Destructive powers are at large and are beating against the boats of the marginalized, and fear is being allowed to run amok." Thanks be to God, this is not where the story ends. Not for the disciples, not for you and me, not for the marginalized. Jesus shows up in their terror. When the end is near for sure, Jesus speaks the word of God's truth. "Take heart, it is I, do not fear. Take heart, it is I. Do not fear. Take heart, it is I. Do not fear." Jesus shows up in the fear, a fear that is very real and present just as it is today, and says, "Take heart, do not fear. It is I." Fear is the direct opposite of trust. Not doubt, like many like to assign, especially when talking about the disciples, especially in our text today. Fear is the opposite of trust. not doubt. And we hear it say when talking about Peter in our text, if only Peter or us, if only we had enough faith, or if only we kept our eyes on Christ and did not look away, we would not have sunk. No. No. It is not about the strength of faith in Peter, in you, or in me. It is about what Christ does for us. We will get startled by the storms around us and begin to sink in fear and destruction as it engulfs us and beats against the boat. But Christ is always there, reaching out his hand and catching us. Always. Jesus tells us not to fear, to trust in him in the midst of the storm. Jesus is the one who frees us from our fears. Jesus is the one who frees us from broken systems. Jesus is the one who frees us from our self-justification. Jesus is the one who frees us from our hate. Jesus is the one who reorients us in love towards others, regardless of race, regardless of gender, regardless of class or religion, regardless of sexual orientation. We are one in Christ. We are one. We belong to the one boat that is Christ Jesus, where the storm is calm. Here again, Paul's message in Romans. For there is no distinction between Jew and Greek, white, black, and brown, male and female, rich and poor, queer and straight. The same Lord is Lord of all and is generous to all who call upon him. The Lord of all. Here's the thing about destructive powers, brothers and sisters. These chaotic storms in our lives, God has power over all of it. From creation to the parting of the Red Sea, to Isaiah's prophecy, to the storms that arose in fear for the disciples, to the fears and storms of today, God has power over all of it, saying, take heart, it is I, the Lord, do not be afraid. This is the ultimate promise we have in Christ Jesus, our Savior. But we still live in the here and now. We still witness the storms as they ravage and beat against the boat. We are in the midst of storms. And while they don't have dominion over us, we have work to do in them. Get out of the boat. Karl Barth, a well-known theologian during World War II, an opposer of the Nazi regime, says, take your Bible in one hand and take your newspaper in the other. Read them both. But interpret the newspaper from your Bible. For too long, we Christians have used our faith as a ticket out of this world, rather than the means to which we engage the here and the now. This is work Jesus has called us to, his disciples, the real stuff of the earth, what's going on now. We are called to speak truth in love, rebuking the storms for the sake of the gospel. We are called to love everyone and be of one boat no matter what our differences are. We are called to be the hands and feet of Christ, sharing good news in word and deed. That includes saying no to intentional and systemic racism in all forms of hate. This is critical work, brothers and sisters. We probably won't solve it all on our own. That cannot stop us. Jesus says, come. Inviting us out of the boat into the storm, ready to catch us when we become frightened. Come, take that first step. Take time this week to pray and pay attention to where you benefit from systemic racism. Make note and begin to speak against it. If you're unsure or you're questioning or frankly you're really uncomfortable right now, please come have a conversation with me, as I don't have the answers, nor will I ever. And I certainly don't have it figured out, but I'm trying. But let us journey together. Come to the conversation on race hosted here a week from tomorrow. Make it a priority, because this is a priority. Come and be part of the fellowship as we get to know some of our brothers and sisters in Christ who are of African descent. Come. Come, Christ is with you in the destructive storm. Christ will not let you be.